Hey, everybody. Welcome to another installment of the Red Chair Dialogues. I don't know what number we're at. I think we're at 7, maybe.
Something.
Adam's right. Back after, well, we took last week off because nobody came, and me talking to myself is awkward.
It's creepy.
You know, the arguments are scary, but Adam's here, and Nick is calling in from the porch of the Wayne Manor. And
sunny Cleveland.
Sunny, hey, you can never hear that enough.
So that's where Gotham is.
Yeah, could be.
That's in Ohio.
Where, it was a homage to the Siegel and Schuster. But Nick has read a bunch of books that he wants to talk about, which was kind of the whole point of the Red Chair Dialogues when it started. So, fire away, Nick. I've read some stuff, but not nearly as much as I would have liked.
Okay, well, I got a big stack here, and we could just, if no one read it, we could just move through them. I'm starting with A's. Not that I didn't alphabetize these, but it's on top.
Uh-huh, sure. We know you do. You read them in alphabetical order every week.
I do love alphabetizing, but what do you think of Age of Apocalypse, number one?
Yeah, I'm on page 3.
So far?
I've heard people liked it. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I just, I had to put it down, and when I tried to pick it back up, it's starting off kind of a little dense, and it's not something I can read during commercial breaks when I get most of my reading done. That's just me.
It's fairly dense, and it does require you to know about the X-Men.
Yeah, I heard some negative things about it.
I mean, I like the point one. I like the little shot in point one. I like the point one X-Force issue. So I'm hoping I'll like it, but I don't know.
It's dark. It's a little wordy, but I don't know. I was kind of hoping it would be more action oriented and more. I mean, when you're in a post-apocalyptic landscape, you can really have a lot of action and there'd be no consequences. And there was a lot of talking.
Okay.
Is it an ongoing?
It is an ongoing.
Well, it's just weird that the heroes all were depowered, so now they're all humans and just odd.
Jean Grey without her powers is sort of boring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Number one issue, starting with A, what do you think about Avengers Assembled number one?
Hasn't made it to the top of the pile. I'm not super excited about it.
I'm not really wanting it.
What was your take on it?
It seemed like if your big baddies are a yet another incarnation of the Zodiac, and you don't really describe any of them, and you just have all the Avengers separately fighting different threats, it's like almost the opposite of what I want in a big team book. Like, I get a big team book number one, I want to see them together, acting as a team, and against a threat that none of them could take on all at once. That's, you know, sort of the whole point. But yeah. These are the Zodiac, and yet, like, the 10th incarnation of them, and they're all fighting them separately. So, I don't know. It just seemed like a movie-oriented cash grab, which we all thought it would be.
Right, that's what I was going to say, not to raise my negativity, but it does it read just like a movie-oriented cash grab? But you answered that.
It doesn't have a place, though, too.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't fit into anything that's going on now. It's really hard to even market it. Why are your comic book people going to want it? You know?
Why are these the team? Like, in the book itself, they show many other Avengers besides these Avengers, and they never show these Avengers all together. They just sort of, the cover is really the only time you see these people together.
Yeah. It really,
so
I don't know.
It's bait and switch.
And the funny thing is, it's not even it is the movie Avengers team. It's not the original Avengers team. I don't know. I just haven't really seen a point of picking it up. I don't know why I want to. Is this what they're going to do with the Avengers later on? Is this going to be the Avengers?
Nothing in this story tells you that, other than the cover.
Has the Black Widow ever been an Avenger?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, has she? Okay, I wasn't sure. Just, she doesn't seem like a real Avenger-type character.
Oh, yeah, she's been, ever since maybe Civil War, she's been a perennial Avenger on the sidelines.
Okay.
I believe she's even led an incarnation of the Avengers at one point, too, but she's been off and on.
Okay.
I mean, really, the one that's been the Avenger the least, and by that I mean two issues.
Hulk.
Is the Hulk. He's sort of a founding Avenger with an asterisk.
Right. Kicked off team at issue 3.
Doesn't Hulk have enough stuff going on right now in his own book?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those characters that I think that needs a lot of, you know, time to sort of define himself again, and throwing him into a team book isn't the best way to do that.
Right. Now, is it the Bannerless Hulk, or do they even bring that up?
They don't bring it up because, again, they split everybody apart and they give a little bit of screen time to everybody. But they primarily, it sounds like the dumb Hulk that we all, you know, love.
And that everybody associates the Hulk with, yes. They go to see the movies, yeah.
Movie Hulk.
Right.
Movie Hulk and movie Hawkeye and movie Captain America and movie everything.
Is Hawkeye a lefty?
That's a good point. I don't remember that. Hold on, let me picture it. Yes. I'm looking at the cover. It looks like in the cover he is.
Wow. So we have a new Nick Fury.
I like how you have
Hawkeye's changed his...
He's a righty.
I like how you had to pose that out.
I know, I had to physically do it.
He was like...
Oh, I missed that. Oh, man.
But not to be negative or anything about Marvel, to flip it again with the Avengers, is that I thoroughly enjoyed Avengers 24.
Yes, so did I. And I went into that with great trepidation because I was worried, how are they going to wrap this up? You know, it seemed like this was a big storyline that was going to get completely derailed by Avengers versus X-Men. But I really liked how they wrapped it up, and then kind of just, it looks like it's going to get tucked away for a little while.
But that's okay, you know. Like,
yeah.
We were talking about the modern era of the Avengers and not having a storyline with Bendis that you can sort of say, that was a cool storyline that you can remember with the continuity of the same artist, not taken over by other, you know, comics in the middle of it, other events in the middle of it. I would say you could point to this one.
Yeah,
and,
no, I agree.
Even then, the Bendis went back into the whole Norman Osborn thing that quickly. It still seemed to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. I did think it was kind of soon. Like, I think if you gave it a little bit more time, like another year or so, it would be like a little bit more of an event. But this wasn't an event, I guess. This was just
a little side story, which was great. I thought it was great.
When I think of the Avengers, you know, stories, this is the kind of thing I want. And this is the kind of storyline, the bigness of it, that I really haven't gotten any other team books lately, except for maybe X-Force, where I feel like it's so huge and there's so much going on. And then this team needs to be the one to do it.
Yeah. And I think sometimes with Avengers, I don't know if Bendis is just doing this or just altogether Marvel, though. The Avengers should be taking on your big threats. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to, like, have crazy fights and all sorts of explosions all the time, you know? All it has to have is, like, threats. And I think things like Hydra and you know, even the Scarlet Witch was a big threat, you know? That type of thing. You didn't have to have the huge, you know, fights. And I think they do that a little much, which is what I think I fear the most with AVX. I don't necessarily want to see big fight. I want to see, you know, some of the story of, you know, some of why, you know, they're, you know, what they're doing and their thoughts and stuff like that. And that's kind of what I read a lot of books for to begin with. Not necessarily the big fight.
I think AVX is going to have, it's going to be more the big fight then.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be big fights enough for our lifetimes.
Yeah.
It's going to be all the fanboy, like, who would win scenarios played out.
Yeah.
Or is that just going to be in Versus?
Well, that's going to be in the other series, yeah. But I think the big ones are going to be in the bigger one, and then the Versus will be the other one.
We're just going to have fights all over the place.
Talking about books for Marvel that are meeting, in my opinion, their mandate, I really enjoyed the two-parter with Amazing Spider-Man.
I did, too. I've really liked Spider-Man recently, though, with Dan Slott. I think it takes Spider-Man back to what Spider-Man was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Teaming up with Human Torch.
Yeah.
Making jokes. J. Jonah Jameson yelling at him. Doc Ock in space. Peril. Using his brains to get out of something. I mean, it was like quintessential Spider-Man.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think he's just right on to this. You know what? I've been saying this for a while. You know, I'm not quite enjoying Hickman's run on Fantastic Four. I think I didn't care from the beginning. It was fine at the beginning, but it just seems like it's taking so long to just wrap up, you know? And I was thinking just recently, I was like, you know what? I'd love to see Dan Slott write Fantastic Four. I want to see a fun Fantastic Four again. You know what I mean?
I mean, their costumes don't even make any sense anymore with Johnny Storm. You realize that?
Yeah.
With the three, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah. But no, all that team up was pretty cool. And the little things like him catching that, like, Johnny Storm can't flame on because he'll burn up all the oxygen. You know, and stuff like that. It's just like, well, that added a little bit too, because what's Johnny Storm going to do if he can't do that, you know? But it worked, you know? He did.
I like the fact that with those three people on a spaceship, you've got Spider-Man, John Jameson, and Human Torch.
Yeah.
And those two, like, are bickering back and forth and making jokes and this and that. And you realize that neither of those two are leaders. Like, John actually took the reins and led those two. Like, those guys are really good support staff characters.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Which is funny, at the end of the book, when Jonah Jameson is there and he tells his son, he's like, "You saved all those men today." And he's like, "Yeah, I didn't really save anybody, but, you know, whatever." He just wouldn't acknowledge that they did anything.
I like John Jameson. I like when he was Man-Wolf.
Yeah.
He's like an old-school Marvel fan or character I really like.
And I guess I didn't know that he wasn't Marla's son.
No.
I didn't know Jonah Jameson remarried or anything.
Yeah.
Well, now, did Man-Wolf ever fight Cap-Wolf?
I don't know. There was a Wolverine Wolf and a Cable Wolf, too.
Oh, I remember that.
It makes sense for Wolverine.
Did you see the Ends of the Earth little thing at the end?
I haven't read it yet, so I can't answer.
What was it?
It's just the last page. It's talking about, it's just Otto and the Sinister Six talking about his master plan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm just excited for this.
I am too. I really am. I think that's the event of the comic event. I mean, I'm excited for AVX. I want to see what they do with it. But I've been waiting for this. They've been playing this up for a little while now. You know that this was going to happen. So I'm really excited for it.
Do you know what it reminds me of?
Yeah.
Sinestro Corps War.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn with a villain who is not some weird reveal, you know, villain, but it's a core villain of the story that they've been teasing throughout for, you know, a long time, and all of a sudden it's going to, like, blow up and be a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they've been playing up Otto Octavius being like this since Brand New Day.
Yeah.
So this whole thing's been just a ticking time bomb. You know, so I'm really excited. I'm a Spider-Man person anyways, but I'm just
so
really...
So we'll go from enthusiasm to less than that, maybe. What do you think about Marcus Johnson losing his eye?
Yeah, if this is going to where I think it's going, and it looks like it's going there, I don't know. I can't take it seriously, you know?
I wish they bundled this in trade with Avengers Assembled number one. And just call it, like, Marvel movie retcon.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't really mess with your source material that provides you stuff, because
right.
That's sort of, you know, it's like the snake eating its tail.
Right. Why are you changing your comics to match your movies when your movies really aren't driving that many people to your comics?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they hope that they will digitally.
Right. I'm sure they do.
That's their plan.
And of all the Avengers comics that are out there, why would they all of a sudden jump onto Avengers Assembled?
Cuts a number one. It'll be on the shelf when the movie comes out.
Unless it sells out.
Yeah.
But what does on the shelf mean to Marvel anymore? Do you know what I mean?
True.
Why do they care?
Yeah. Available. How about that?
Right. Available. Exactly. Yeah. Or your virtual shelf.
I mean, the story.
What do you think about
The story of that seems kind of interesting. Of what's it called?
Battle Scars.
Battle Scars. The story is kind of interesting, but I just don't like where it's heading. You know what I mean?
I mean, it seems so mandate driven that, like, to me, it's like, once it was teased before it came out, I was like, oh well, they're gonna find out he's Nick Fury's son and he's gonna lose his eye, and yeah. Like that's what we've got.
Yeah. Like, well, and the thing is, like, when it got to the point that, okay, it's his son, I could have lived with that. But the whole point is they're leading it all the way to, you know, he loses his eye. Okay, obviously he's becoming Nick Fury, you know? He could have...
They transfer Nick Fury's mind into his body.
Right, because he doesn't have the experience, he doesn't have the knowledge, he doesn't have any of that stuff.
Nothing.
So I really don't know where it's going to go.
Okay, move on to a good book there, Nick. The next one.
Batman and Robin, number 7. Conclusion of what I thought was an underrated series. I really enjoy this.
There was a scene near the end that I just loved, where Damian goes, "You didn't think I'd really turn on you, did you?" And Bruce goes, "No." And then the next panel, "Well, for a minute."
Yeah,
I just thought that was great.
The last panel. Did you like the ending?
I think Damian needs that because he's been sort of going soft.
Yeah. I don't know how I thought it was kind of cheesy tying it up with Forgive Me, Father, for I Have Sinned. I thought that was a little much, but I did like how he did take him out, though. Because it did seem
like... The fight was a good Batman fight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I had a couple art issues, only in the fact... All of a sudden, he had all those knives in his back, and they really never showed how he did that. And then he was still fighting with them, and I thought they had fallen out the way he was moving around. And then all of a sudden, he falls back, and they're still. It's like he couldn't have been throwing punches with all those knives, you know, in his shoulder blades
just
and stuff.
In his uniform.
What?
Just maybe in they're the just stuck in his uniform.
Oh,
not
okay.
His body.
That's true because he's wearing a thick Kevlar.
That could be, but he seemed, you know, arr!
Yeah.
My single favorite panel was the big full panel of Batman covering himself complete with the fire, and he's yelling, "You try to murder my son and expect to live?"
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
I just love how he lost control. Like, for a minute there, he was out of it. And it made sense, because that was his son, you know?
Well, he almost lost control, and he has been keeping himself in control for decades.
Yeah.
So for Damian to do this, I mean, I'll buy it.
Yeah. No, I did. It was a really good story.
All his reflexes are to kill, you know, Damian. Like, and I think if you too soon gloss over that, I think you lose something with the character.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And he has been losing that a little bit, you know.
He's been softened, you know, which, I mean, I get. I mean, of course. But I think every once in a while you need to, just like they did with... Jason Todd back in the day when he was Robin, like, they had him doing some shady stuff.
Yeah.
Other Batman book that I don't know if anyone's reading is Batman Beyond Unlimited.
I read that. I actually really liked that book.
Me too.
Yeah. I thought that was... I was talking about the other day that they're doing a really good job with tying this into New 52 continuity and Bruce Timm.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of Bruce Timm stuff there, but, like, one part that I really liked was Commissioner Gordon, Barbara Gordon, was trying to sit down, and she felt pain, and Bruce asks, "Are your legs giving you trouble?" And then she's like, "No," and then she changes the subject. I thought that was kind of neat, because now that kind of ties into, well, she walks now, you know, she's gotten over that and brought that into it, you know? Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah, really liked that book. I thought it was cool that they're introducing kind of a ringleader to the Jokers.
Right.
And seeing who it was kind of cool too, so.
Yeah, I mean,
I expected it though.
I expected it to be good. I mean, there's a lot of, hold on. I don't know. There's a car alarm that keeps going off here.
Are you okay, Nick?
It
is Cleveland.
It is.
No, it's our next door neighbors. It just goes off every 5 minutes, and they're cool with it, I guess.
Call the police.
Somebody's breaking into their car. every five minutes.
I'm looking right at the car. It's fine. What, is it pretty loud for you?
No, hardly.
Oh, cool.
I mean, it's like, we hear it, but it's not that bad.
The people listening to this are going to be like, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I like the Bruce Timm verse quite a bit. Like, the Justice League Unlimited was one of my favorite shows. And it was, you know, everything that's classic in DC all put together. And yeah. I thought this was, you know, a good homage to that. But those nods to the new 52 are something that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you kind of wonder how they're going to tie all that together, you know, because you're trying to bring in this future, you know, Neo-Gotham into the main, you know, DC continuity. And you got to have some way of doing it because of so much that's happened, like, especially with Damian. I think Damian kind of throws off the whole Batman Beyond universe, too, because, you know, he supposedly when he grows older, he's going to become Batman.
I mean, it's a different Earth. I think that the nods to it are simply likenesses to the one to the other. I don't think they're ever going to say this is the future. Rarely does that happen in comics.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, Warbird in the JLU, he's the son of who is it? It's Hawkgirl and John Stewart.
Oh, okay.
Like, that makes no sense outside of the Bruce Timm verse.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's close, and they're going to play with stuff, but it's not, you know, canonical.
Yeah. And Barda. Barda is in the Justice League and Beyond.
Yeah.
And, that's the same Barda from Justice League? That was from Apocalypse?
Yeah, she's a new god. She's immortal, so that's fine.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Aren't the new god's dead? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, didn't they get a bullet or? Final Crisis. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like DC continuity wipe, you know, I have my issues with it because I love that universe and I frankly know a lot about it. And there's characters I miss and all that fun stuff. If stories weren't so good on the New 52, that's the only thing that fights my, you know, feeling on that. But there are things that I don't miss and. The Final Crisis is one of them. I'm glad that's gone. What about Batwing? Do you guys like that?
I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, Batwing was great.
The origin that we're finally understanding who's who now makes a lot more sense.
Yes. Yeah.
So who do you think Massacre is?
I think he is. I think he's that warlord.
Yeah, I think so too.
Oh, see, I think it's the brother.
You think it's the brother?
Oh, interesting.
I think that would be too similar to what's going on in Batwoman.
I haven't read Batwoman. So.
Well, I mean, the older Batwoman stuff.
Oh, the old, yeah.
When it was her
maybe,
sister.
Maybe, but that's just how I see it. It's.
I kind of wondered. But that's why I kept saying. I was like, maybe it can't. Maybe they won't do that because of. I kept saying, thinking it was the warlord.
I'm not sure his brother would have known all that history, but.
Right, but why would Massacre be wanting to be killing these guys when they kind of gave the warlords their power? Didn't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Because they didn't stop the warlords, they just got rid of the head guy and let the warlords take power.
That's true. His brother would not have approved of that. He lived under them.
Right. So maybe not, but I've thought that since they showed his death with air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe that is.
No, I'll buy that. I mean, and that would give him... I mean, what these characters rarely do in like when they introduce new characters... is establish, like they did and used to do in the 60s, just an awesome rogues gallery. You know, they always have them fighting other people that are already established and, you know, that kind of thing. But I like that this has been fairly self-contained with, you know, this is the reason I was interested in this book in the first place, is it's a new area to explore with new characters and, you know, potentially its own little area of DCU.
Yeah.
Except we're in Gotham already, but...
Right, but that's so we can fight the Talon.
Yeah.
Yeah, Court of Owls is going to be... I'm excited that everybody's going to be all in the same place.
Yeah.
I even like how All-Star Western is in this, too. I'm just...
Oh, yeah.
I'm loving that. Because I was saying this at the last podcast on Wednesday, that I feel like that will give you a little bit of past history on the Talon.
Yeah.
And you won't see that much in the other... books, you're going to see, you know, why they're going after this person. And I don't know. It just seems kind of interesting. So I'm totally sticking with All-Star Western.
It's a thoroughly coordinated effort, you can tell.
Yeah.
It's rare that, you know, it actually really appears like that. All-Star Western is one of my favorite DC books.
Yeah.
Like, I love those two thrown together.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's a neat team up.
Such an unlikely duo.
Yeah.
I
liked where it went, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And that last issue.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I've read every single issue of Jonah Hex because I loved it back then because it was these awesome one-and-done cowboy stories. But it's something, believe it, even with the same, you know, writers, very, very different tonally. And I still really enjoy it.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's really fun.
Especially Jonah Hex is, and it makes me wonder how they couldn't get a movie right.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. I can't get that.
Well,
what's next?
Talked about it earlier. What about Hickman and the FF?
I gave that book up.
I gave up back when Black Bolt got married to four women.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You haven't been into it in a while, then.
Right. Not so much gave up, but after the issue after that, just never made it to the top of the pile, and I kind of gave up on it.
Yeah.
And then I kept selling out of 600 and 601. I kept getting them back in, but so I never had a chance to take it home and read it. So, and then by the time, it just got too far along.
That's kind of what I decide to get rid of comics, is then when they're, like, the last thing I read, like, because I'll pick up books on what I'm reading, and if they're the last thing, and then they stayed the last thing for a while, and they, you know, I'm just like, you know, that's why I gave up on Fantastic Four. I just wasn't really enjoying it.
I'm about to do that with Cap. I've already done that with Iron Man, and I usually don't lose books, but there's just a lot more books now that come out a bunch of times a month.
Yep.
And I've decided it's not even financial for me, in as much as it's like I look at these stacks of books that I'm not reading, and I'm just like, why am I doing this?
Yeah. Well, you know, and the thing is, I'm really enjoying Cap and Bucky, and that's the book that they're going to be changing over into something else.
That's the book I like.
Yeah. And they're getting rid of
it. Now it's Cap and Hawkeye, and then it's going to be, what, Cap and Iron Man, I think they just solicited?
And I really don't think I want to read Cap and Hawkeye already. No, just because Hawkeye is cool. So are Fezzes, but I'm not wearing one, you know?
Right.
You do have a bow tie on there, so.
Oh, yeah.
Bow ties are cool.
Yeah.
But no, really I agree with you. Iron Man just kind of lost me. A couple issues after Fear Itself, where he's going to AA meetings and the Mandarin's coming to power yet again. I just kind of went, "Wow, you know, come on, Hickman, you couldn't
give me something new."
Yeah, make up a villain. You know, do something. More than just a serpent. And Cap, you know, I read those two issues that shipped that same day, and I haven't read since. It didn't do anything for me. I went, oh, wow, the mind bomb. Looks like Brubaker's flipping through old 70s covers to come up with his stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or Mad Bomb, that's what it was. But it just, I'm like, I remember this cover. I remember the Ameridroid cover. You know, I just, and the next one came out, and I just went past, so.
Ameridroid.
I'm getting that way. I'm behind on Uncanny X-Men, too, just because they're coming out so fast. All of a sudden, I turn around and I have three in the pile, and I'm like,
Uncanny makes it to my top pile, though. I mean, I just, more than any other book, all in my opinion, every other book that's going to be associated with AVX, and I think it's going to be a lot of them, this is the only one that makes all the sense.
Okay.
Like, it's everything they do in that book, like everything that their attitudes, all that stuff, sort of, it's driven towards, like, it seems like he knew that this was coming before everybody else did.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know where Cable is these days and if he's still tying up the Avengers.
Well, that wraps up next week. I don't see. I'm sitting here going, I can't even imagine what's going to happen in this issue, only in the sense of nothing's happened in the first three.
What made it a point?
And
gave it a point?
Yeah, I don't know what the point of this whole series was.
at the end of it, he's going to go, in the future, the Avengers kill Hope, and because she gets the Phoenix Force, and I don't like that. And it's like, well, we know that. We've had endless...
But how was this Cable reborn? You know, I
geez,
don't
Bleeding
it.
Cool told us that a long time ago.
Yeah. I don't understand why they just didn't skip this miniseries, just have Cable walking around and then say, we'll wrap this up in a miniseries later. All of Sabretooth.
Yeah, exactly. Has they resolved that one yet?
No, that's the sloppiest death comeback ever. They literally just say, all right, we've got a Sabretooth again. This is miniseries. We'll explain it later.
$10 Thanks. They never do.
Yeah. Like, doesn't matter. They should almost have that. He's back. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You don't care. Somebody wanted to write a story with Sabretooth, so here he is.
You know what? You know, there's a lot of stuff that they never really tie up. Like, why did Nick Fury really go in the hiding? Why did he leave S.H.I.E.L.D. exactly?
That was something in Secret War.
Yeah, Leviathan.
Why isn't he back? Why didn't he? He couldn't just come back, I guess. I just don't understand why he just kind of just vanished. I always thought it was because of Secret Invasion.
That's when
he came back.
That's where it was from.
But, like, Secret Invasion was over, and it was just like, okay, well, that was solved, so why are you still in hiding?
Well, Secret Invasion was even brought up and is part of Winter Soldier right now.
You mean Secret War?
Oh, I'm sorry, Secret War, yeah.
I was going to say, what, he's fighting Skrulls? No, that's in an upcoming issue of X-Men.
Yeah.
I saw in the current preview, so I'm like, oh, seriously?
How you liking Winter Soldier?
I love it.
I am too. I really do like it.
I'm dropping Cap and keeping that book.
It makes me want to go back and read Secret War, though.
Have you ever read it?
Yeah.
It's really great.
It's just been a while, and, you know, this is kind of...
It kicked off, really, like, a number of years' worth of stories.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that one shipped, like, quarterly or something, because the guy had to mail the paintings from Italy or something.
Gabriel Del Auto. But it's so gorgeous, though.
Yeah, it is.
I'm a huge fan of his. He's an amazing painter. Okay, what about, let's see, the DC book? Because nobody read FF, and I did, but I don't have much to say that's positive.
You know, the covers just don't interest. Even though I was just walking, I have Fantastic Four on the front rack, and I was just walking around the corner looking at the cover, just going, I just don't like this art. And I realize it's not the interior art, but the cover isn't making me want to buy it.
It's not even the Fantastic Four, for starters.
Well, FF is Power Pack, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the storyline is wrapping up with, like, it almost feels like a 90s story where all of a sudden Franklin from the future shows up and he's hanging out with his grandfather and they've got some kind of, like, Deus Machina move. And the Fantastic Four, almost like the Fantastic Four sequel movie, have their name in the title but aren't solving anything. Other people are.
Yeah. You know, I gave up on that book. I just didn't. I really just didn't care about those kids, you know?
I mean, the Fantastic Four, to me, you know, with Hickman, I want to like it for Hickman because I think Hickman is really, really good at, like, it's like Grant Morrison, he's really, really good at setting up, like, interesting new things, but he just did, like, you know, 30 new things all at once and then said, oh, I'm bored of this, and let's jump onto this, and oh, I'm bored of this, it's fun to this. And he's got all these, like, loose plot lines, and I just want him to tighten it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's my problem with it. I just gave up on it because I was just like, it's never going to end, you know? It just has so much that I don't know when they're going to tie it up, how they're going to tie it up, and I was just like, yeah, I'm just bored with it. And then New 52 came out, and I needed to make space for it, so.
Fair enough. New 52. Are you reading Justice League International?
No, I'm not. Wasn't that one a lot of people were saying? Did you read that, Colin? Justice League International?
No, I just read the new one. Well, I never read the old one either, but no, I read the first issue and it just didn't do it for me. But here we go. This is for you, Nick. Why should I be reading it? Sell me.
Yeah.
I can't sell you on it being a top of the pile book.
Okay.
I really can't. It treads a lot of the same water issue to issue. But I will say that it definitely feels like an older DC book. Like there's a lot of there's a lot of character interaction. There's a lot of characters in general, frankly. And it almost feels like a 90s DC book, you know, where it's more about, you know, well, you don't feel like the team is made up of any A-listers. So you feel like the threats are pretty real because these guys could die, a lot of them. And these guys could be out of their depth because they're not that powerful. And just remember, like, in the 90s, there was a lot of teams, like, marquee teams, made up of B-listers.
Like Justice League, specifically the Detroit? Justice
League. Yeah, even Marvel's Avengers, like, were nothing to talk about. I mean, yeah. Black Knight and Crystal and...
Black Knight had a nice jacket, though.
Was
they all had jackets. So don't get me wrong, they all had jackets. Captain America had a jacket.
Yeah. Was Cyborg part of Justice League Detroit?
No, Detroit was, I think, like, Vibe and Gypsy, Martian Manhunter, Aquaman.
Yeah, because that makes perfect sense, Aquaman in Detroit, yeah. I mean, there's a river, but...
Yeah, he had some water.
Or a lake or whatever.
Yeah, I always think of those characters like, I think a Gypsy and Vibe and, what's her name? Marcy. What's her name that she got the animal totem?
Vixen,
yeah. She gets her legs broken in this.
Cool.
Justice League Unlimited, or I'm sorry, International character dies in this issue.
What? Not that Godiva, I hope.
No, Godiva makes it through. She's got awesome superpowers. She can make her hair do things.
What's her name? Cantu, Medusa from...
Yeah, she's at least the queen.
Yeah, they don't do anything with her. They don't do much anymore with the
Inhumans.
Yeah. Besides, once in a while, they're in a Fantastic Four.
Yeah, you know those like team storylines where the team gets so binged up that you know it's going to be a new lineup soon.
Yeah,
that was this issue.
Really?
You know, like Mutant Massacre had that with X-Men, and Doomsday had that with the Justice League, where they get so beat up that you're like. You know, at the end of it, they're all, they're all about to quit, and half of them are in the hospital, and then a new character shows up. That's pretty much this one.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen some new teams, a couple new members, and that's got me interested. I can't really sell you on this book other than if you're just a Booster Gold addict like I am, even this shadow of Booster that's in the new 52.
I think that's why a lot of people are getting, that book is because of Booster Gold. He's not in it. He doesn't have his own book anymore.
That's the thing. And he's, again, he's the shadow of a character in this. Like, I don't know what makes him, the marquee. He's the team leader.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that he's the team leader, that's the only, like, character trait he has.
Yeah. Seems kind of odd that he never got a new 52 book, especially with the second blast of them, you know? He still doesn't have one.
Well, I mean, they're trying to have a more diverse DCU, so they made him Canadian, but I don't think that's enough.
You can't just make him Canadian.
Speaking about more diverse books, does anybody here read Invincible?
I haven't. Colin is actually on a phone call right now, but...
Okay.
He might... Hey, here's one that, hold on, let me think, I can't think of the name, Avengers Children's Crusade.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's,
I loved it all the way through.
Me too.
Even though it took some wait for it, it really still worked. I didn't really forget what happened, so. And, I'm not a big Young Avengers fan, but they really worked in this, you know? It really made sense.
I've been reading every Young Avengers story since the beginning.
Yeah.
And this is like their quintessential story. I mean, they really tied it up with, I mean, if you think about it, it's been 2 years since the story started.
Yeah.
It started in early summer 2010.
Yeah. And it also kind of explains where have the Young Avengers been within these last few years, you know? They quit.
They threw that montage in at the end of, like, you know, the last 2 years of Marvel history happening.
Yeah.
And it framed it really well.
Oh, yeah. No, it was. It was just a really good story. Frankly, of all the events for this year, I love Flashpoint. That would be my first. But the second one would have to be Avengers Children's Crusade. I just thought it was just a fun read all the way through. And I enjoyed it a lot better than Fear Itself. It actually saved Marvel for me for Fear Itself.
Yeah. It's going to be an amazing collected book.
Yeah.
It already came out.
Yeah, it's already out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was, I guess, why not, right?
It came out, yeah. It came out the next week. So, it was this week.
Got it.
It came out? Yeah.
Marty sold out?
Yeah, Colin just sold out of his last one.
Yeah, I would tell somebody, like, if you want a huge Marvel event all in one story, you know, and you want to read something in you know, a day or so, that would get you hooked. Like, I don't know how you would sit down and read just part of that.
I have all the issues at home to read, but except for number 4, but I think I can plow through that. Maybe I'll send you a text. What happens in issue 4?
You have to have the special in-between issue, the Young Avengers.
I don't know. I might have that. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It explains a little more.
What?
Is that collected too?
I don't know if that's in the hardcover.
I felt like it was one of those things that they were like, oh, we better explain this, but we already put an issue number on it. Oh, we better put that in there. Because it kind of tied together, you know, with the last issue. You know, it worked with that. And then that came out, and it was the same thing. It was almost like the next issue. It was fun.
How about, speaking of young Marvel teams, the Avengers Academy?
I didn't.
Runaways meets Avengers Academy.
Is that what came out
with that?
Yeah, I've been seeing the advertisements in that. They haven't been doing much with Runaways either too much until now.
I think, like Young Avengers, Runaways is one of those books where initially the mandate, I think early in the Quesada Gemis regime, the idea was there were certain creators that had dibs on people.
Huh.
And I think that Young Avengers is one of those books. And I also thought that, you know, Brian K. Vaughan had that with the Runaways, but after a while they realized he's never coming back to do something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they,
because those characters have been on hold for so long.
Well, I think that was the idea. I think they really wanted it to be, you know, his thing. Like, I remember back in the day, like, Kevin Smith said that he had dibs on Bullseye, and nobody could use him. And that's why the beginning of Bendis' run had oddly no Bullseye in it.
Yeah.
And then after a while,
that worked out well for Marvel. Yeah.
After a while, they said, "Look, thanks, but we're not going to wait for you."
I was just pricing a collection yesterday, and it had 2 copies of Target number 1. I'm like, "Ooh!"
I have one signed. That was an awkward ask. I was like, "Could you sign this?" Looked at me in the face, like, "Really?" You don't have a Mallrats DVD? Like, I do, but this is funnier.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was really fun. I mean, I really, really like Avengers Assemble. I'm a Runaways fan too, and I thought
you mean Academy, really Academy, not Assemble.
Characters.
You mean Academy, not Assemble.
Oh, I'm sorry, Academy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Are you confusing your Avengers books?
No,
it's not like there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be more.
And pointless ones.
But yeah, they got the Runaways down really, really well, and you know, it felt like an old school 2 teams meeting for the first time and starting to fight. You know, story, and then they got along swimmingly. It was good.
But didn't they know? Oh no, never mind. Okay.
Well, they're both on the West Coast now, you know. So.
Right. Along with the X-Men. Oh wait, no, sorry.
I like that there's 2 coasts of stuff going on.
He's got to do a little better job making sure that the characters are on the coast they're supposed to be.
Well, I mean, yeah, they've always done a bad job of that. You know, like Wolverine, while he was in Utopia for all those years, you know, he was also on a team in New York.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, in Storm. You know, Storm's in New York. Oh, and in Utopia. Oh, and in whatever that Savage Land is.
She can fly.
I don't think she can fly that fast.
She goes straight up and straight down. She'll get that.
It always reminds me of X-Men 3, the movie. Angel throughout the story, like, you see him, he's on the West Coast, and then he, on his own power, flies to New York. He meets the X-Men. As soon as he meets the X-Men, within two scenes, all the X-Men but Angel get in a jet and fly away. Then later on in the movie, Angel shows up again. So you're telling me that he made two cross-country treks? Like, that's pretty much what he did that movie.
He's that good.
They're like, we should put him in a jet. Like, he can fly. And it's like, yeah, but that would be a pain in the neck. But that's a long trip.
What else you got?
I've got two books that are related that I love a lot, and that is Animal Man and Swamp Thing.
Yes.
Yeah, they were
Animal
great.
Man, I have to say, I was a little disappointed. It felt like a little more filler. It's like it's kind of waiting. I don't think it's moving.
Ramping up.
Yeah, but it hasn't moved much since the end of number five.
I agree.
I mean, I didn't mind it, but like the little scene in the store and then where he flew his son away and just it's like, wait a minute, you're being chased by these animals. What's going on? Whereas Swamp Thing I thought was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt Animal Man, like, at this point, like, I think they wanted to reestablish the family and not just those two. So I think they, like, almost took, like, a side tour to say, like, okay, the grandmother hates Buddy, and the son feels neglected, and the wife doesn't know what's going on, and the daughter is getting creepy, and I think they just needed to spend some time with the family.
I do like how, with the old artist back, Cliff's mullet is back in full force.
Yeah.
That was one thing I remember when I picked up the first Morrison trade of that, and going, man, is that a mullet? And then just looking at that book, I went, wow, the kid still has a mullet. But Swamp Thing definitely geared up.
Wow, the ending of that, it's like...
Yeah, well, I don't think number eight's going to be an end. It might end the current storyline, but it certainly won't be ending anything.
These do not feel like they're written for trades, and I like it.
No, because, it can't end at eight. So, yeah, it's going on and on.
And I think it's part of the digital push, which, you know, has... It's so funny. I think their digital thinking has impacted the print beneficially in as much as they say, well, the trade doesn't matter. People can get it digitally, which just means that they actually care about each individual book again.
Right. And that's one thing that I did like about their announcement when they started. Like, the first Detective arc was really only four issues. And basically, DC told the writers, write what you're going to write. There's no preset six-issue, five-issue. We don't care. And that's why, you know, the Batman and Robin was seven, you know, and that typically isn't a trade. So that makes me happy that they're letting the writers write.
Yeah. What else? Cool stuff. Grifter. Who's reading Grifter?
I'm loving Grifter.
Me too.
I don't know anything about the character. I came into this cold, and like I said, I was about to drop it, and for some reason I decided to read issue three, and it was that little caption that gave it all away, and then there was a scene in it where he was fighting with his brother, and his brother was saying, take that stupid thing off your face, and he's saying it's the only thing keeping the aliens at bay. And they had that little blurb on the credits page that said, the mask, you know, affects the aliens. I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense now. Otherwise, it's just he's wearing a mask.
Yeah.
And since then, I think it's been great. And this issue, I thought, was great, especially if you're reading Stormwatch.
Right.
I loved how they prefaced this in Stormwatch by... Stormwatch actually took place after this issue of Grifter.
Yeah, they had one monitor duty scene where they brought it up.
Right.
It was really cool. And I thought that the story... See, when I read Stormwatch, like I've read the old Stormwatch, and this is not Stormwatch. This is the Authority.
Credit for him.
And that's okay, because I like the Authority better. And Midnighter is, you know, to me, he was always the character I gravitated towards the most in Authority. And, like, Grifter and Midnighter fighting, like, this was a great fight. Like, you learned a lot about the characters. I really enjoy the place in the DCU that Grifter has as the most wanted man in the world, and just what makes him unique is really, really cool.
I love how Flashpoint brought a bunch of these characters back, too, and, you know, made a lot of them, you know, like who were we just talking about with the hair?
Oh, Buddy Victor's kid?
No, 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 you were talking a little while back.
Oh,
who is? Yeah. And I was expecting a lot out of that character after Flashpoint, and then we're seeing her in things, and so that was cool.
Godiva is the white chocolate of the team.
Just when they first introduced her, I just looked at her and went, she's expendable. Yeah, so when they said someone dies, that's why I immediately thought it would be her. Just
it wasn't. That's exactly what I thought, too. I was like, oh, great, she'll die. That's fine. Let's see. Here's a book that I didn't read because I don't remember what happened last issue, and that's Powers.
Yeah, well, you know what? As I said to Matt, the last one was only a month ago.
I know.
The one before that was a year ago, but
I didn't read that either.
Yeah, but you did make it to the letter column with your gratuitous, groveling plug letter.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny.
I haven't been in a Powers newsletter in, like, 2 years.
Well, there hasn't been one. Yeah.
I've been in, like, 3 or 4. But I figured, hey, what the heck?
Hey, we still have a fan. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't that many letters this time.
Well, nobody expected it to come out ever again. They're waiting for the first season of the TV show to wrap up.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'll believe it when I see it.
Did you read Saga?
Oh, which way? What Saga? What
Saga?
Oh, no, you know what? Brian K. Vaughan Saga.
Yeah,
it's on my list, but I read the stuff I need to understand the whole universes before I read new
okay.
stuff.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that Wednesday, maybe. That was really
good. You read
it? Yes, I did. That was really good. It was one of those. I'm like, I think I better read this so I could sell it because Image did a promotion where if you order 150% of your order of Walking Dead of it, all your issues would be returnable. So I'm like, okay.
Wow.
So, right. So how do you not take advantage of something like that? Sadly, they did it with Fatale as well, and I didn't do that, and I wish I had, because I could have used the extra issues. But then what it turns out is, sadly, all the New Dimension stores, since I'm still under their umbrella, had to have done that to make them returnable, so I lose out. But I'm happy I did because I have plenty to sell, and it's still selling very well. But yes,
I mean, expectations are high.
Well, see, they weren't for me because I was never a big Vaughn fan, and I haven't finished Y. I haven't finished Ex Machina. Neither of them really. I didn't bite on it either of them. They didn't. You know, I'm like in the middle of trade 3 on both of them. So I just kind of went, okay, you know, but it was really, really good.
I mean, both of those series for me are two of my all-time favorites, and I even liked Pride of Baghdad a lot, too.
I did like that. I did like that.
That was so nice and contained. And
yeah.
Every year there's, like, one or two graphic novels that come out that are sort of, like, will be good evergreen, you know, sales and something that you can read and reread over again. That's one of them.
Hey, how do you like where Green Lantern's going right now?
I've been waiting to know about the Indigo Tribe since they appeared, so...
Yeah, I thought that was kind of
cool. I feel like I care about this book again.
Yeah, because I wasn't at the beginning.
No.
Yeah, it really needed that. I also like where this whole thing is going with the Guardians.
Yeah, they're on their way home.
I have always read the Guardians since...
Yeah, traffic was real bad. Because
they came back as villains.
Yeah.
The vice presidents in town.
Exactly.
The only time they felt altruistic and really, like, good was when Kyle Rayner brought them all back from life with the ion power.
Yeah.
Like, and they had females for the first time, and they just felt like they were hippie, good, you know, I could trust them, and whatever. And you know what? Like, that's the one thing with the Green Lanterns for me. Like, I have a love-hate with it. Like, I love to hate the Guardians.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust them. I think that they're, you know...
I think they have different priorities with the universe than everybody else does.
Well, I think they're far more manipulative and, you know, than Karen. Because they don't care. They have no emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I think after a while, I think what seems to be what they're leading up to is that... In New Guardians, that
the
color spectrum is going to become the New Guardians.
Yeah,
that it's going to be Guardians of all different types of emotions.
Yeah, and then you know, there'll be a Green Lantern will come to save you for some things, and a Red Lantern will come to avenge something, and
exactly,
and then there'll be one group patrolling them all.
Yeah,
I'm down.
Yeah, like a council of the spectrum, you know, basically, that it's every color.
Oh, okay.
Because they all have different emotions, and they obviously, you know, non-emotion isn't helping, because that seems to lead everything bad, like, that could ever happen. So,
I mean, Alpha Lanterns and Manhunters, like, they're all failed experiments, mm-hmm. and I guess they're hinting at yet another incarnation, like, that they want to get rid of the Green Lanterns and replace them with something else.
Which they're saying that it'll be led by the first Green Lantern. Isn't that what they said?
They have been saying that, yeah.
Who is that?
I feel like it's an Alan Moore story, but there has been stories about this character before. Not a lot. You know, small stories here and there, nothing big. But I think he's just the first sentient, you know, protector. But I thought he was dead.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So, I don't know.
I'm for that, and I really hope that whoever these Guardians are, they are characters that, you know, we know, and I really hope, because, you know, again, I love everything, I hate to say this, but I love everything 90s.
Yeah.
And I hope Kyle is one of the Guardians, because he really is, like, he would be... Hal would be terrible for that. Hal is a foot soldier.
Yeah.
Kyle is much more emotional, much more grounded, and much more of a real character. Hal is simply like an angry, you know. And I like Hal.
And I couldn't see Guy Gardner being that.
No.
I couldn't see Jon Stewart mainly. I mean, Jon Stewart is a different Green Lantern altogether. He's more clear thinking, but he's a soldier.
He's a soldier like Hal is a soldier.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you know, but also, I think Jon Stewart's way too, like, haunted to be, you know, in charge of anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got some demons.
I mean, all in all, I like where it's going in other books, not necessarily Green Lantern, but it seems to be like they're heading that way now with Green Lantern, you know? So, I kind of like the last issue of Green Lantern.
Yeah, it's the best one I've read so far.
Yeah, I haven't read since New 52 started. I haven't read a Green Lantern issue that I was just like, yeah, that's, you know.
This feels like New 52 Green Lantern.
Yeah. Now, New Guardians, though, that's just been just a fun book.
Yeah, I like the emotional spectrum, so this book's for me.
Yeah.
That's free. Yep. Cool.
You want to change gears? We could. I don't know if you read Carnage USA.
No, I haven't. How is that?
It's a crazy book.
Yeah. I guess it's like the sequel of the Carnage book that was just out not too long ago.
Yeah.
A few years back.
Yeah, it's an Avengers, Spider-Man, Carnage, and all the symbiote characters that are out there.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the craziness that is Carnage. And how do you attack him, you know, when he has more power?
Well, there is a lot of 90s coming back, isn't there?
Well, I mean, if we want to skip ahead to something that's, you know, one of the characters that, like, one of my, like, fastly becoming one of my favorite books, Scarlet Spider.
Yeah. I've heard good things about it.
Love the book. It's just the tagline alone, it gets to the root of it. All the power, none of the responsibility.
Yeah.
He is a gritty former killer, redeemed, you know, and he keeps asking him, are you a superhero? He goes, no, I'm not a superhero. He goes, well, why are you wearing a superhero costume? Because it's not mine. And he does stuff that's like almost Batman-esque, you know, holds people upside down and, you know, beats people up for information. And
yeah, which you wouldn't see Peter doing at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of different how they what they've done with Kane. Like, yeah, I wasn't expecting Kane to come back.
It makes sense though, because just by saying that they got rid of the virus that, you know, that's always degrading him and messing with his mind, and
yeah,
he's thinking clearly for the first time. He's thinking, you know, and they keep alluding to the fact that he has a conscience, and uh-huh. His conscience is Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know, where Peter Parker's like, oh, boy, I don't want to let down Uncle Ben. He's basically saying, I don't want to let down Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Who he is.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating.
Yeah, that is. Do you think Ben Reilly's... I have a feeling they're going to bring him back at some point. And yeah, I know he's pretty well as dead as dead could be, but they, like, allude to...
He melted.
Yeah, I know he like, did.
He's
but...
a clone, though. I mean, you know how easy they could do an off-panel thing where he got replaced by Jackal right before he got melted and done deal.
Yeah. And, you know, you remember that Raptor story of Spider-Man?
Yeah.
That threw me for a loop, because I was like, I guess they were looking at his past a little bit, but was he still alive when he, you know, killed
that?
That was all past before he died in after the Clone War. Or Clone Saga.
He left New York, like, promptly after the whole original Amazing Spider-Man stuff, and he had his own, like, life. And they even did it in a really cool John Romita art miniseries, I think, called, like, Spider-Man The Hidden Years.
Yeah.
Some Lost Years, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it was a really good miniseries. But it showed that he had this whole history where he was being tracked and hunted by Kane his whole life prior to coming back to Aunt May was dying for the 10th time.
Yeah.
That's what kicked off the Clone Saga.
And now she's doing very well for herself. It's like she's de-aged a little bit. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Boston air is probably good for her.
Yeah, I could see that.
She's got love in her life.
Yeah, she's married, you know. And
My favorite thing about Spider-Man, this is why originally when... nice dogs next door. one of the things that I really didn't like about Brand New Day, but I accept it now, is... I like Spider-Man because he progresses.
Yeah.
I don't like the stunted superhero for Spider-Man. I like it for some. Superman, yeah, I don't want him to progress to the point where he's got kids and he's, you know, I don't know, just not Superman.
Yeah.
But I think Spider-Man, like, he works growing up.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, that...
Well, and that helps a lot with his alter ego, Peter Parker, is...
Right.
Because he should be, you know, doing that. He does. I think that makes Spider-Man such an interesting character, to tell you the truth. And as Stan Lee used to say, it's not necessarily, the story isn't necessarily about Spider-Man, it's about Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that makes him really interesting of a character. I mean, you gotta think about it, you know, like Captain America. It's really all about Captain America. It's not necessarily anything much about Steve Rogers.
I could not read a Steve Rogers story.
Yeah.
He's nothing.
Yeah. Steve Rogers, before he was Captain America. Skinny white kid.
Now, like, imagine reading a story about Steve Rogers and his friends who aren't superheroes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to read it.
No.
He's really boring.
You know, I was thinking about something. Marvel on Facebook was asking a good question the other day. And, they asked basically what you think of Nick Fury. Is he essential to the Marvel Universe? Does he, like, add stuff to it? I said, yeah. I mean, I've liked Nick Fury, a part of the Marvel Universe. And a lot of people were on there like, oh, he has nothing to do with anything. You know, they only throw him in there when they need, you know, to have something. I was like, yeah, but he's like the center of the Marvel Universe, you know? He's the mystery of it.
He fits a role that... as a binder, you know, like he has a relationship with the Thing, Wolverine, Captain America, Daredevil, you know, all of these characters that wouldn't otherwise. And I think that's what I like about him. He sort of binds the universe together in a way that the Force used to prior to it being a blood virus.
Yeah.
are you
comparing that to Nick Fury there? that was a jump. I see it though.
Geek leaps.
Yeah, wow. That was a good way of putting it, though. He really is kind of he bonds the whole Marvel Universe together.
Yeah, he's the glue. I mean, there's no...
Yes, absolutely.
You have a hard time thinking that, like, other than poker games from The Thing, that a lot of these guys would ever meet and talk, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, he adds something, especially to Captain America, which I love how Brubaker was putting Nick Fury into... the Captain America books, because he added that little, you know, spy type thing to it. Captain America didn't necessarily have that before, and being that we haven't had a world war and a little while now, I don't really know what else you could do with Captain America. I think that's why Ed Brubaker's Captain America originally worked. You know,
before that, there was two series in the last, 15 years or whatever with Captain America, and they tried to involve him with modern day conflicts, but modern day conflicts really aren't as black and white as World War II was.
Exactly, and you can't necessarily do that.
So they just didn't work.
Well, and that's why they talked about during Civil War that they were why they killed Captain America. Was because America's not necessarily the same America as it used to be, and when Captain America existed. And that's why they brought Bucky into this, because it was a little bit different. It's kind of slap in the face, though, to America in a way, if you think about it, because it's just like, not necessarily a slap in the face, I guess, but basically, Marvel pretty well shot out that the old America is dead. And Captain America was a metaphor of that.
Yeah, I mean, that character isn't... I mean, America has changed so much in the last almost 100 years that, trying to force that same concept of the wars that we had versus the wars we're engaged in now just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, it really doesn't. But I think bringing him back and what they're doing with him now of being kind of okay, there's been all this stress, there's been all this, chaos that's been going on. Now Cap's taking over and doing things his way. I thought that was really cool. If there's anybody that I could see leading the Marvel Universe except for Nick Fury, if Nick Fury wasn't there, it would be Cap.
I agree.
I thought it was interesting when Iron Man was doing it, though, because it was just like, okay, come on, Iron Man running this. Let's see what happens with this. And it worked. That's exactly what happened with that.
Yeah, it was great because, honestly, nobody likes Iron Man that much.
No.
He doesn't – it's kind of like when everything goes bad in a DCU, it's like when it's really bad, everyone looks to Superman.
Yeah.
And there's those people. They do that in TV shows, for instance, Lost.
Yeah.
When things got really bad – there wasn't a formal leadership, but everyone looked at Jack.
Yeah.
And said, you're our leader.
And I loved it when Jack, I'm pretty sure he even said an episode was like, I didn't even vote for this. Everybody just made me leader the first day.
Walking Dead.
Yeah. And Rick. Well, Rick, I guess Rick wasn't necessarily, it's kind of funny how they make Rick leader. Cause in a way Shane was leader until Rick showed up and then there's oh, Rick's leader. Yeah.
I know.
Which is, in a way, kind of odd.
To me, it's just there's certain people that exude leadership, whether they want it or not. And that's almost an indication of a good leader, are the ones that don't want to be leaders.
Some of them are born as Leonardo.
Right, Leonardo, exactly. Leonardo leads, but Donatello's the one that does machines.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, I just had fun. I was over the counter just wondering because somebody just added Saga to their list. I'm like, I wonder how that's been selling. Just look at my numbers. So I just ran my sales for this week, and Saga is the sixth best-selling book of the week, which I thought was pretty good. Yeah, above Avengers Assemble, Wolverine, and X-Men. So here's the list, just people are wondering. Now, granted, it's still midway through Saturday, but... Green Lantern, Batman and Robin, Batwoman, Suicide Squad, Batgirl, Saga, Avengers Assemble, Wolverine and the X-Men, Avengers, and Superboy. Now, this is just books that have left the store, not including books in pull and stuff. But
yeah.
How's Avenging Spider-Man doing?
Okay.
Meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Yeah. Scarlet Spider, this week it was kind of funny.
I kind of saw Scarlet Spider kind of taking its sales in a way, because I think that's what people really wanted.
I don't know about that even. Dave from Big Bang called yesterday to see if I had five extra copies of Scarlet Spider, and I looked and I went, wow, yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. I'd sold 25 of the previous issue, but only 10 of this one, so I had plenty on the shelf.
I really hope people keep picking this up because, of a character that's tied to another character that has its own little, it's the Batwing of Marvel right now.
Okay.
It's tied to a character, there's a little bit of back history, but he's in a new setting, he's a new hero, and it seems like they're throwing in some, a new character for him to fight, but there's ties to still, you know, the history of the Marvel Universe.
Okay.
And I personally, again, they were big in the 90s, haven't been big since, but he's going to be fighting the Assassin's Guild.
Okay.
I don't know if you're going to
say the jury. Yeah.
Right.
Or, who was it? Shriek and... I love going through pricing those Clone Wars
Maximum
issues.
Carnage.
And you have the... Yeah, Maximum Carnage, but it was Shriek and Carrion or whatever. It was just like, you're just looking...
Shriek, Carrion, Demogoblin, and what was the other one? Doppelganger.
Yeah, so I'm just looking at the covers just going, oh, man, how can I put a $3 price tag on this? It's not worth it.
Unless it's like an Omega issue.
Right, right. But yeah,
Chromium.
So much of that was just so bad.
How about anyone saying anything about the end of the Wolverine family line of books?
What do you mean the end?
Well,
oh, you mean like X-23 and Duken? No.
Yeah, it's 2 years ago they decided that Wolverine has a family of books. You know, not just a bunch of books with Wolverine, but a family.
And then a year and a half later they go, ooh, this isn't working.
Yeah.
I think they're both ending at, what, 21?
Well, X-23 took a month off or something like that, and then it had the last issue's out, now it's 21. It's an all-silent issue. I don't know if that's going to help you sell it.
Yeah, that's going to be good. A nice quick read.
It's an all-silent issue written by somebody who has not written the book, so...
Oh, yeah.
How many do you have on the shelf now?
Probably quite a few.
Oh, it's a great book, then.
Yeah.
Tell me when you don't, and then I'll say something different.
Well, it was funny. Joe used to think...
Fine.
I was making comment, and Joe's like, oh, I thought you had so many of those books on the shelf because it was selling so well. I'm like, no.
No, that's not how it works.
No, because I can't keep up with the decline.
Yeah. Duken, it's in the second to last issue. He, throughout this whole comic, he has been nothing but awesome potential, but no one knows what to do with him. He's got cool potential.
Yeah. I mean, I really liked him when it was Dark Wolverine, you know.
Yeah.
When he was taking over that book. There's a lot I liked, but then, you know, I can honestly say I read the... that little one-shot preview book and had no desire whatsoever to read the regular series. The Wolverine Goes to Hell. It was a little preview book. And I just went, ugh.
You know, right now while we're doing this, I'm doing something that Nick Fury, Thing, and Wolverine used to do a lot of.
Fighting? No.
Smoking a cigar.
Oh, there you go. That's not allowed anymore.
Remember those days?
Good times, good times.
He's
well,
a Joe Camel.
Jim Gordon still smokes.
He's on
who does?
Patch.
Jim Gordon.
Oh, well, yeah, SDC.
Yeah.
So does, what's his name?
Amir, are you going to tell Jim Gordon what to do?
The yeah. Harvey Bullock.
Yeah, Harvey Bullock's the last cigar smoker in a comic book, right?
Could be.
I think you'd take... Richard's
still around.
I think you'd take away a lot from Harvey Bullock's character if you took away his cigar.
I think a lot of people thought that about Nick Fury.
Yeah. But we haven't really seen much of Nick since he gave up smoking.
He's been hiding. Who knows? He's smoking when he's off panel.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe it just didn't go well.
Yeah.
I'm sure Fury Max definitely smokes cigars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he doesn't have a goatee.
Okay. All right, let's see if we've got other books. Did you guys read Suicide Squad?
Not yet, no. I'm way behind on that.
The origin of New 52 Harley Quinn. It's pretty much the same origin.
Okay. Well, good.
But she is much more hardcore than she ever was. And certainly a villain.
Yeah.
Not just misunderstood.
Not an anti-hero, not a misunderstood, not a you feel bad for her. She's a villain. Which is okay.
Yeah.
There's been too many, in my opinion, villains that turned into, you know, some kind of murky in-between. I'm fine with this. Suicide Squad is a book not for kids.
Yeah.
The title. Well,
when you have suicide in the title, that's kind of a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Squad.
What else? Let's see. Superboy.
I think I read the first two. Not that it was bad. Oh, no, the last one I saw was when Caitlin hulked up and was holding him up.
she became Fairchild.
Right. That was the last one. And it, not that I didn't want to read it. I think there was actually like almost an entire month of DC that I just got way behind on. I think it might have been week four or month
four. You call
four.
Yourself a comic book
I try, man. I so try. Rare. You should see my stack at home, and then I'm going away the rest of the weekend. I'll get nothing read. My order's due Thursday, so I have about 3 hours of data entry that I was going to do today.
Oh, and then NASCAR.
You're going on a NASCAR trip?
No, we're heading up to Erie. We're going to Splash Lagoon.
Oh, that's my hometown.
I know it is. So, yeah, just
Splash
taking...
This is, like, not a comic book talk, but I'll get it quick. Splash Lagoon is a lot of fun for kids and adults.
Okay, cool. We're mostly... I mean, we don't care a whole lot. We just want the kids to have fun. We just need
they
to get away.
You're going for yourself.
At a bar.
What?
They can have a lot of fun, and you can look down at them at a bar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool place.
Yeah, 3 years ago, we went out to Great Wolf Lodge out in Sandusky, and the only problem was... basically, I had to spot my son, who was four at the time, the entire time, and it just got a little tedious. You know, oh, yes, we're doing this. We're going, you know, on this little walking bridge for the 100th time in a row. Yeah, I'm having a great time. So I'm hoping they can be a little more independent and we can kind of relax.
He swims, right?
Sitting over the water park is, like a really cool, like, bar thing with, like, arcade games. And but you can just sit in the bar, look down at them, and watch big screen college basketball.
Okay. Well, I don't think Sandy will go for that, but you go watch the kids. I'm going to watch it. What, Nick?
So you guys didn't read the Superboy then?
No.
I did.
Oh, there you go.
I did. I'm actually not minding Teen Titans and Superboy. I like Teen Titans better than Superboy.
Me too.
But I'm not really having too much of a problem with that. I know a lot of people were like, eh, you know. But, it's kind of different. It seems so outside of the what's going on in all other DC books, too. Which is kind of funny.
I think all this, I guess what they're informally calling the Young Justice line, seem to be off in their own little, you know, thing.
Yeah. But no, all in all, I kind of like some of the characters. I'm not too big on Bunker.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Tim Drake anyways. Kid Flash. I like how they have some sort of like mystery background for Kid Flash on this.
Yeah.
So that was kind
of
cool.
He sort of doesn't make a lot of sense, so.
Yeah, he doesn't, because he's supposed to be from the future.
Historically.
Yeah. But I feel like that's what they're going to do with him.
I would like that.
Yeah, because he doesn't really know much about himself besides being in an orphanage. So I think somewhere along the line he just showed up. Where is the question?
Could have maybe erased his memories?
Well, my question is the picture that the New York City police officer was holding up of, like, him in another costume. And then she was speaking a foreign language of some sort.
Maybe it's Earth-speak from the 30th century.
I think that is actually where they were getting at here. So we'll just have to see, because she was surprised that it was him. And then she's holding up a picture of him that is like an all-black costume. And then supposedly he has like a lot, you know, that he's done in his past. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I've always kind of been a fan of Kid Flash, though.
There's more Gen 13 references in Superboy, so I think they're going to... There's going to be more Gen 13 stuff going on here.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
What else?
I find it funny that Tim Drake is such a big fan of Green Lantern, though.
Yeah.
He's wore so many Green Lantern shirts in so many of these issues.
Okay. What about any of the Ultimate books?
I pretty well gave up all my Ultimate books. I just kind of, after Ultimatum, I just kind of lost interest in the Ultimate books.
Ultimate X-Men and the Ultimates are sort of circling the same pattern in circles. There's like two big threats. One's Reed Richards and his, like, evolved people. And one is the Zorn twins starting their own, like, group of people, like, I guess, sort of post-human people. And they're sort of fighting people on all fronts, I'm not really into either one of them, but the Ultimate book that I still, I don't know if I'm the lone person, but I really enjoy all Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of people say that. They just kind of like this character. I just, it's just not my Ultimate Spider-Man book that I was reading. They kind of ended that, and I was like, you know what? New 52 is coming out. I said I want to add some of those things to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of why. Not necessarily the character itself. It's just, it wasn't the book that I was reading and enjoying. I was really enjoying Ultimate Spider-Man before all this. And,
me too.
And I was just like, eh, it abruptly just, everything, they just started killing off the Ultimate Universe. I mean, literally.
Yeah.
And I was just like, they're taking away what was, what I was enjoying. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to get into it, a new thing, because if they have that much power to just do that again, then what's the point? You know what I mean?
I mean, the other way to look at it is that if you're using the same characters, exact characters in the other universe, and no one's dying, then what's the point of even having an Ultimate Universe, you know?
Yeah.
It was like the 10 years of Ultimate X-Men before Ultimatum, and this is where Marvel's coming from. They were, you know, cool stories that were like different takes on the characters that you know.
Yeah.
But what if we made the Ultimate Universe full of characters that were slightly different or completely different enough that we're telling new stories, not rehashing old stories?
Yeah, and they wanted to do that a lot. When it first came out, the first thing that came out was Ultimate Spider-Man. And they were saying that they were basically making this for a new generation.
Right.
To just jump into and enjoy. They came out around the same time of the movie, Ultimate Spider-Man did. Of the first movie.
1999.
Yeah. And I don't know. It just, you know, they were doing that. Not so much with, I mean, they changed a little bit of the characters. Like, Green Goblin was nowhere near the Green Goblin that you knew. Osborn was. Ultimate Osborn was kind of, he's kind of like what they're doing with Osborn now.
Yeah.
In the regular comics.
He was the... Yeah, in Ultimate Spider-Man, he was the big universe-wide threat, I guess.
Yeah. You know, a lot of it because he had money. He could do whatever he wanted. The other thing is he could basically Hulk out, but he caught on fire when he did. So that was kind of different. He threw fireballs.
The current Ultimate Spider-Man, as it gets going, is really building a support team around him and characters around him that are interesting. And it's probably the youngest superhero book that's out there, right?
Yeah.
And like that unto itself is very interesting.
Yeah. I'd love to find an issue of Ultimate Spider-Man number one, just the first printing of it. That's a hard one to find, which is funny, too, because you don't have a lot of comics that are like that are new.
True.
You know.
Moving down the pile here. Let's look at some X-Books. The top of my pile every month, not that I get my books weekly, but the most, you know, my favorite book here is Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I mean, there's just so much going on.
It's one that I would really just love to jump into. Because, I'm not reading many of the X-Books.
Really?
Yeah. I just, it's not that I don't want to read them. Like, I love the idea of the X-Men and everything. It's just that I have so much on my list right now of regular books that with X-Men, I'd love to just read it all. You know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot of talk about this happening. Would you be interested in a continuity reboot of the X-Men?
Yeah. I probably would. If they could keep it fairly simple like that, like DC is doing with New 52, I'd go with that. Do you think that's what they're going to do with that Extreme X-Men?
I think that's going to be one of the titles, and I think that there's a good chance that Bendis is going to restart continuity and say with the Phoenix is going to wrap up. No more mutants.
Yeah.
It's going to wrap up... they keep stressing the rebirth aspect of the Phoenix's powers.
Uh-huh.
I think once it all goes away, I think Hope's going to go away, and I think that there's just going to be a new X-Men. Like, mutants are going to show up for the first time.
Yeah.
But I don't know how that works with, like, for instance, Wolverine. How does that work with Wolverine?
Yeah, that's true. How does the hell would they do that with Wolverine?
He's tied into so much stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, with all this stuff, with all these reboots, for me, it's like I read all the continuity. I like all the continuity. Like, I've read all the stories. Like, I've never missed an X-Book since, like, maybe 90.
Yeah.
It's a lot of stories, you know, and if those are just invalidated. Yeah. They're not invalidated. They're still good stories. But there's so many side characters to the X-Men, you can keep it going on forever, and they have.
Yeah.
But I could see the point of view that it's very hard to get into.
Do you think if they do it, do you think it's going to be a hard reboot or a soft reboot?
I don't know how you do a soft reboot with the X-Men. Only because it's just, you know, how do you pick and choose?
Yeah. I just couldn't see them. I don't know how they do it, basically, with, unless they, do you think they're going to do that with the whole entire Marvel Universe?
No.
How do you think they do X-Men, though, without everything else? I mean, X-Men is such a big part of the Marvel Universe, though.
I agree, but you have the recipe of the people in the middle of this thing. The Phoenix Force, unlimited power.
Yeah.
Scarlet Witch, unlimited power and reality warping powers.
Yeah.
And then you've got a conduit for both of those things from somebody that can steal people's powers, Hope. If Hope steals Scarlet Witch's power and Scarlet Witch has the power to do, and you got a Phoenix Force, what you can basically do is that you can redeem Scarlet Witch and say it never happened.
Uh-huh.
You can, and you can start off mutants all over again and saying no more mutants, say mutants start again, you know?
Yeah. I think, frankly, I think that's where they're going. I think they're going to that, you know, Hope's powers being that, Scarlet Witch's being that, Scarlet Witch being near Hope. I'm pretty sure that seems like where that's going to go. That she is going to take her powers.
And all that stuff happening, to me, doesn't say reboot as much as Ben just taking over the X-Men. That says reboot. Because it's like, he's not going to write all the books, but I think he's like taking it over, like, Morrison took over the Batman, you know, universe, and basically, like, steering it, like Jeff Johns takes over the Green Lantern, and sort of setting in motion, doing the core titles, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'd go for it, though. I really would, because, you know, there's a lot going on at X-Men. You know, there's just so much going on. I think it's really hard. If any Marvel books, I think it's the hardest probably to just jump into, you know what I mean?
Well, do you know what I mean? How many generations of X-Men there have been? So you've got the original five X-Men. Then you've got the people that came on with giant size. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you've got the next generation of mutants, the new mutants. And then you've got the next generation of mutants.
Yeah.
The Generation X. Then after Generation X, you've got the young X-Men. And then after the young X-Men, you've got the Morrison era. Then after the Morrison era, you have Hope's team. So you've got about six generations of new mutants. How do they work?
Yeah.
And how do you have a book like, say, New Mutants right now that has these, you know, characters that have a history together because they were the third generation of X-Men team, and then one of their members is Nate Gray. Explain Nate Gray.
Yeah.
He's like Cable, but from another universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just too much. I think it needs it, to tell you the truth.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't need it, but I think...
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
Like, I can explain Nate Gray very easily, but...
For somebody... You know, for getting new customers onto the book, it's needed.
You can't do it. Yeah. You can't do it. Like, X-Men Legacy, this issue. Like, unless you know the origin of Exodus...
Yeah.
Which was told in a, I believe, a one-shot... You don't understand who this guy is.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to jump onto that.
You're talking about rebooting the X-Men?
Yeah. What do you think, Al?
Well, they just redid Wolverine. They just relaunched Wolverine and then jumped him up to 300. They just relaunched Uncanny.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about continuity.
Yeah, no, but I'm just thinking, sales-wise, I think the impact of new number ones for that is going to be zero.
Well, that's interesting. Just on the number ones.
I mean, to hit a new number one, you hit issue 9 and then number one. It is. I mean, they've done that before with, like, Exiles and other things, and the impact is negligible. Even, I mean, if it was all rebooted...
That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about New 52, Crisis on Infinite Earths style, like...
But could you do it just with X-Men, or would you have to do it line-wide?
You have to do it line-wide.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah.
I think overall it would not have the same impact, it would not have the same success as DC.
Is Wolverine and the X-Men doing well for you?
Yes.
That book couldn't exist in a reboot.
Correct.
It could exist in a way that is basically the new, you know, that's what the X-Men are now, is they're that, but...
Well, or it could be this is the school, and the other X book is the adults.
The superhero team?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it could work that way. You could have X Academy and Uncanny X-Men type of thing.
As long as some of them are extreme.
Yes. I don't understand that at all. Wait.
Did you ever read Extreme X-Men?
No, and I don't think anybody else did either.
I did.
You did? Okay. But
it's always, you want to know what they were?
It was all the women, wasn't it?
A lot of women. It was Storm, Sage.
Wasn't Claremont Psylocke book?
Yeah. Yeah, Claremont and Psylocke is always scary.
They're all up around the outside.
A lot of exposition.
Hey, what about Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be an ultimate miniseries of some sort.
I don't think it's... the two universes joining. They've tried that before and tricked everybody, so I, you know, once bitten,
maybe
twice
it's a
shot.
Clone saga.
Could be.
Clones all over the place.
Didn't they already do the... it could be. That would be kind of cool.
Maybe some of the Spider Island people never got the crazy vaccination, and they still have spider power. Oh.
I think Peter might come back.
That would be nice.
Imagine if there were two Spider-Men working together, like, teaching them the ropes.
That might bring me back to Ultimate Spider-Man. Who knows? I don't know.
I tried it.
If they bring back Peter Parker.
Well, actually, no, here's a funny thing. I was enjoying the Ultimate Spider-Man, but then they had the bagged issues and I couldn't read them.
Yeah.
So I stopped reading it. So then that happened with all the Ultimate books for me.
Can't you read through bags?
No, I can't. Same thing with Avenging Spider-Man.
Superman could.
Because I couldn't read issue 2 and 3, I didn't read it. And I stopped reading it. So, and I mean, that's me just as a salesman, you know, not really willing to damage the product before selling it. But I wonder how many other people, well, I want to flip through this. I want to see what it looks like. And when you can't.
That's just ludicrous.
I know.
Not wanting to destroy the product to sell it?
Well, not destroy it, but cutting open a bag. You know, I mean, granted, most people that buy it are going to do it, but. You know, it's...
Oh.
Here, take a bite out of this apple. I took a bite out of the apple. It's good. Yeah. Here you go.
Except for the worm.
I blindly buy books through Solicit, so...
Right, you do. But I think there's still... I mean, I have people, you know, literally in the store right now, just walking the rack, picking up stuff, flipping through, putting it back. You know, so when you eliminate that option...
Yeah.
It's like buying a blind car.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, you're not seeing what the car is. You didn't get a test drive it. They're just like, here's your car.
Right,
give me my
Nick's
money.
Nick's already sold on it. You know, he knows he's going to be getting those books,
exactly.
So it's irrelevant to him.
Yeah. There's a bunch of different angles people come at, I guess, to get books, you know?
Yeah. And
but I think they have to be aware of that there is more than just the...
But people like Nick are more rare, though, than people coming in, aren't they?
I think so.
Well, I mean, I have a lot of people who, you know, they have their pull list and they come to the counter and get their books and never even venture into that other room.
Yeah.
So,
since I've been like 16, my favorite thing that comes in every month, you know,
Wizard?
Different ways
oh,
I got
sure.
it. Yeah, well, it was up there, but it has been previewed. So, not a book ever meant for me, but they've essentially.
Well,
made
sadly,
it
is now, which is frustrating for me.
Yeah.
And it, even worse, they've done something these last two months that I actually sent an email to my customer service rep just saying, you're killing me here, is It normally the orders do the last Thursday of the month, and it happened to hit like February 22nd, which was weird, just the way the month laid out. But so basically, we got the previews on the third or the first week, and then it was due on the third week. Normally, we get a full month. They're doing it again this month, where the previews order is due next week. And I got that email. I'm like, wait a minute, it's the 14th of the month, and you're telling me that my previews order is almost due. It's what happened to having a month to go through stuff. And I sent her off a nice long letter just saying, this is bad for you, only because, I don't know, I mean, I have no idea how any other retailers do it, but basically I give it a solid read through pretty much within the week that it comes. I read every solicit, and I'm just, you know, basically reading it. I skip the manga, and I kind of glance at all the toys and stuff. And then I let it kind of mull in my head, and I would read the online reviews and see what the buzz is and get feedback from the customers. Then, about a week before it's due, I go through it with a highlighter, highlight the stuff that I want to get, things that, oh yeah, I remember that looked good, things like that. If there was no ringing of a bell for me looking at it a second time, more often than not, I'm going to skip it. Well, because they've cut us down by a week, I've lost that second time, and now my first go-through is with the marker. And so a lot of stuff is getting missed. I'm paying no attention to any online buzz because I just don't have time. I have to actually, I don't know when I'm going to enter it because we're going away. I'm going to come back. It's going to be Wednesday. I might be just forcing all this in the day it's due with no time to talk to anybody, get their feedback. So they're kind of screwing themselves. And then the weird part is we don't get the new one next week. We get the new one the first week in April. So I'm going to have some dead time without a new previews that I could be using, just to, like I said, let it mull over, let it percolate in my head. So
I wonder if you could have something like in the store where you
hey,
could
take
write,
care of those dogs, like, okay? This is, this is ridiculous.
This is a professional.
No, we can just hear it in the background. Between that and car alarms, man,
You're going to have to take them out.
Yeah. I'll give them some chocolate later.
dog kryptonite.
You can put something in a store. Can you not hear me over the dog?
No, I can hear you.
No, you're...
I just pointed at him.
Oh, okay.
Put something in a store that, like, maybe you could write, like, what you think, like, the big books are, or like, not even the big books, but, like, things you're on the fence about, and, like, let people decide, like, what they think is going to be, like, the big books or that previews. I don't know. Like, somebody poll people.
I get very little feedback. Even when I put it online, not too many people say, hey, order this for me. I get a few. I mean, I used to order a customer copy of the order form for every previews, but I only ever got one guy returning it, so I only get one. So most of the people just assume I'm going to order it, and they'll pick it up when it comes, which is fine, but, on things like Adventure Time that, nobody asked for, and I miss, and then they come in asking, well, why didn't you order 30 of them? It's like, because nobody said they wanted it. But even just having, extra Wednesdays to talk to people, one extra week does make a lot of difference.
You should assume that everybody wanted Adventure Time.
Well, yeah, right, because the other cartoon books have sold so well.
Yeah. But,
looking at the camera?
No. There you go. Yeah, it's just... But when you get no feedback, what do I order? I ordered it about what I order SpongeBob, not even, I like, oh, it's not a kid's cartoon. I don't know these things. I'm sorry. I don't watch cartoons.
I could have told you.
Right. But you're ordering it from somewhere else.
In a different state,
but now that, here's another thing we should do the previews podcast that nobody wants to do anymore, but I did get a lot of feedback when we were doing that with people saying, oh, that looks cool. Well, great. That's feedback that I need ordering the stuff.
We should just throw a previous podcast. In my opinion, if everybody was part of that, would take some time ahead of time to figure out what they think were their, like, not necessarily, like, the obvious choices, but to figure out, like, five books that they think are going to be awesome that are, maybe rogue picks.
Okay, maybe we'll do that this week.
I mean, that'd be interesting, just because, like, you don't need to have everyone say, like, oh, I think ABX number 3 is going to be amazing,
right?
But somebody says, like, pick five books maybe that aren't, obvious that you think are going to, be some books you're really looking forward to, and because I just think that the data may be out there, but it's tough to come by.
Yeah.
And it's anecdotal coming from other stores.
And then you get weird things like now, like WonderCon's this weekend, where they're talking about stuff that's going to be in the next previews, for stuff shipping in June, you know, because they always like to get this stuff out as soon as possible. So, you know, trying to read online articles about that, it's like, I can't even be thinking about June right now. I'm worried about stuff that's shipping in May, and it's still March. You know, it's...
I want to go back to the previews podcast that we did when Adventure Time number 1 came out, because I feel like that was one of the books I said...
You may have.
I'm such a huge Adventure Time fan. Like, I rewatch episodes that I'm on DVD.
It is a fun show.
Oh, I love it. In New York Comic Con, they just had a huge presence. Huge.
Yeah, there. You know, I was at the Steel City Con, which is like a toy festival here, or a toy convention at Monroeville. And there were a few dressed up as characters there as well.
Cosplay for that is huge. But, like, they had, they had a 20-foot inflatable Jake, like just in the place, and they had like banners everywhere. It was like they spent a lot of money in New York Comic Con.
Yeah, it's one of those big things right now. It is a fun show, though. It really is.
Not that Normal Show isn't good too, but Adventure Time's like awesome.
Yeah, Normal Show.
I watch a lot of cartoons.
Yeah. There's not enough good live action stuff out there.
I watch a lot of iCarly. Luck Charlie seems to be one of their favorites right now. Not the same.
You need to get rid of those kids.
No, I need to know. They're going to take care of me in my old age. They'll be selling you comic books in 20 years.
Will they?
Hopefully. I'll be in the home.
Well, this podcast will be there to remind them.
Yeah. Be sitting in the home going, hey, I remember when.
Fear itself.
You will not be talking about Fear Itself then, I can guarantee you. You'll forget about that.
What?
It'll be a thing of the past.
If there was a reboot of the X-Men, do you think there'd be so many vampires?
No, I think they would pretty much eliminate the vampires.
Good.
Speaking of X-Men 26, that was a fun vampire story where vampires were everywhere and there were vampires.
Yeah, I'm almost into single digits on that book.
Terrible book.
Just, I never got it. Why it needed a new title just for that, and that they just won't move on.
Yeah.
Although, what was it, in the current previews, I think I already said it, where it's going to be a Skrull vampire story, because that, you know, let's bring in all the fans.
Okay. Wait, Skrull vampires?
Well, it's a vampire and Skrull story.
Oh, they're not combined.
We don't know that.
Do the Skrull vampires have maybe like hammers from, let's say, like...
Oh, we can only wish. Hey, are you reading Defenders, Nick?
Yeah.
Is it addressing Null?
Not really. They're past Null now.
Oh, are they? Okay. Did they beat him?
They beat him and they're on to the guy that's above him.
Okay.
It's sort of happening. It's not that great.
So what, one? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Null was such a big character in Fear Itself, you know, and I'm being sarcastic.
Okay,
here.
I'm saying you're going, what? Yeah.
Did I gloss over those that fast?
Well, yeah. did you read the Hulk versus Vampires mini? Did you absorb that one?
You know, I missed that, because that takes two things I don't like and puts them in one book.
I have plenty if you need it.
Like, I haven't liked the Hulk since Planet Hulk.
Yeah. There was that we did get something, you know, one of these, you know, cryptic notes from Marvel saying, you know, the entire Fear Itself hinges on that miniseries.
Well, you know, Justin was just here. We were just talking about it. He was like, "Oh, I loved Planet Hulk," which Planet Hulk I heard was pretty good. I haven't read Planet Hulk.
Good.
I saw the movie though, the cartoon movie.
Not quite the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then I was like, he was like, "Do I need to read World War Hulk?" And I was like, "Well, no, because it wasn't very good."
Yeah.
It does kind of finish it up, but I think you could live without it.
You're trying to kill my salesman.
I couldn't tell him to get it.
That same world. Did you guys see John Carter?
I did. I saw it yesterday.
Not yet.
What'd you think?
I loved it. I just thought it was fun.
It's fun.
Yeah. I mean, it had everything that you'd kind of want from a sci-fi movie.
It was funny. Joe Jusko, the, you know, Frazetta-esque artist, big John Carter guy. He's done probably almost all the covers on the Warlord books.
Working on St. Patty's Day.
Yeah, and he linked to an article about why it basically killed itself through the director just not understanding how to do and promote a book or promote a movie. like
people
all,
are really complaining about the marketing.
Well, the marketing, basically, because he had the credibility from doing WALL-E, he had complete control. So, unfortunately, he did all the shooting first, and he did all the special effects later. So when it came time where they said, okay, we need an ad, they had no special effects done. So, and he had complete control over the trailer, so he gave them exactly what he wanted it to be. And I watched it, because they had a link to it, and it was terrible. But go ahead and talk about it. I got to take care of
it. It was fun, though. I did enjoy it. I loved the dog, which I forgot his name.
Lockjaw?
Yeah, basically.
He runs instead of teleports?
Yeah, he runs. That's what I kept thinking while watching the movie. I was like, it's like the same guy.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie from beginning to end. The beginning and the end were the best because it kind of ties things together.
Yep.
I don't know. I love the flow of the movie, you know?
It felt like a big epic movie. And what was great about it is it felt like a movie. It didn't feel like a teaser to a trilogy.
Yeah.
I want more, but not because they left stuff out.
But you know what? They left it to go either way. They left it to either it could be a trilogy.
Yeah.
Or it could just end right there. You know, because they didn't really say, you know, it could have just ended as, you know, he left, you know, basically he lived happily ever after and he, you know, lived on Mars. Or now he's back on Mars. We can do something, you know, now. So it could go either way.
When they make movies like this now, it seems like they make not a movie, but the first part of a trilogy. And I'm saying that there's a difference only because it's like they tell a first act.
Yeah.
And this didn't feel like that. This felt like a complete film.
Yeah.
And again, rarely, I watch some of these movies that are like coming out now and like genre films.
Yeah.
And I feel like I want to watch the sequel because I want to know like what the heck's going to happen. Not, I want to watch the sequel because I liked this.
Yeah. You know, well, Green Lantern's a good example of them making a movie and then, you know, leading it up with something that, like, oh, there's going to be another one. Well, do you really think there's going to be another Green Lantern? Yeah.
I'm a huge Green Lantern fan, and I kind of hope not.
Yeah. And if it is, it's going to be a totally different thing altogether. They're going to redo it. You know, but they did. They left it open, like, oh, Sinestro, you know, he's Yellow Lantern now, but...
Here's what you really wanted to see.
Yeah. And, geez, why didn't they? Sinestro should have been the bad guy throughout that whole movie. Yeah. I mean, he just should have been. I mean, I could have lived with the whole Ryan Reynolds being Hal Jordan. If Sinestro, I know, that's a bit, but trying to work with him here a little bit here.
I'd have given him more leeway, sure.
Who would have you have seen as the Green Lantern?
Only one person.
Who's that?
Nathan Fillion.
Who is that?
Castle or Matt O'Connell.
Okay.
He's the voice of him in the animated, and he just has, like, that swagger.
Yeah.
That says he's a veteran, that says, you know, he's lived a little bit of life, and you believe him in a brawl.
Yeah.
And you believe Ryan Reynolds in a, you know, Van Wilder.
Yeah.
Like, Van Wilder's not my Green Lantern.
Yeah, exactly.
Where Mal Reynolds is my Green Lantern. Like, and I watch these new animated movies, and I see him as the voice of Hal, and it just works.
Well, I mean, has Ryan Reynolds, any of his comic book movies actually worked?
I, believe it or not, I actually kind of enjoy Blade 3. But I enjoy the movie to a degree, but I actually really enjoy his Hannibal King.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where he lives. Like, the fast talking, you know, snarky, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, everyone always says Ryan Reynolds is the perfect, you know, Deadpool if he wasn't in that stupid.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the thing. Like, yeah, he made a great Deadpool, but you eliminated his speaking role at the end of the movie.
Yeah. They put Mimic in the movie with Baratheon's blades, and they called that Deadpool.
Yeah.
It was terrible. But that or the. Kind of like the Wally West in the animated series Flash.
Yeah.
Like that, like almost like a Peter Parker meets Flash kind of thing. Like that works. He'd be great at that.
Yeah, I could see that. But not as this. It just, I don't know. And you know what? The director's cut was even worse.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Oh my, I was so bored watching that. I mean, I mean, it's like, how many times do we have to see the origin story of his father, you know, dying in the jet crash? I mean,
yeah.
They showed it once as a full long scene, and then another time they had it like flashbacks, like, oh, you saw this 5 seconds ago, you know? It's like, we didn't need to see that again.
There's just certain things that I think just don't translate well to live action, and I think Green Lantern's one of them.
Yeah. You know, speaking...
Too big.
Yeah. Speaking of I just actually got a chance to watch the Star Wars Blu-rays. All the changes that they had in it were just like, yeah, you know, they kind of flew by. But one that I actually liked, and which is odd, because, yeah, I don't usually like too many of the Star Wars changes. I liked it when Darth Vader picked up the Emperor and he screamed a no about him trying to, you know, he was killing his son. And he was like,
yeah.
I thought that actually showed the change of him right there. That him saying no made him seem human, which he lost a long time ago, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. So that part, I was just like, you know what? I can live with that. I said, I don't like him saying no when he was so upset about Padme, but...
Padme?
Yeah. Well, he should have yelled Padme.
What was it like, trying to think of, I always forget if it's like Family Guy or Robot Chicken, but what's the one where they make fun of, like, Padme dying because she died of, what was like, a broken heart?
That was Robot Chicken. That was Dr. Ball.
Yeah.
And Dr. Ball is like, where'd you get your degree? In poetry? Your PhD?
Died of a broken heart.
And then Darth Vader calls him the Emperor on the phone. He's like meeting with two people, and Darth Vader is calling him after the Death Star explodes, and he's telling him all, you know, it exploded. And he's looking at him, he's like, no, you know, don't make me, I'm going to tell everybody about Panda Bear or Panda, yeah. Or whatever you want to call her.
Panda Bear or something.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, there is something to be said about tinkering with perfection, you know?
Yeah.
Which we'll get to see in the Watchmen prequels.
Let's see what happens with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to get whatever I can of that, though.
Well, I'll probably just get all of it. I'll
stop all you want?
The things that they don't make.
Yeah.
I was reading.
I mean, I bought Watchmen by Rich Johnson, so.
Oh, okay. Watchmench?
Watchmench?
Yes.
So I don't have the ability to say no, but it's, you know, that's the fear. I think everyone's going to be thinking about Watchmen like they think about Star Wars prequels. Do you, you know, can they do harm? Yeah. And then you think about it, like, with Star Wars, they didn't get new people to do it. Like, they have the sanctioned author of the original material, and it still didn't do well. So, you never know.
Yeah.
Your expectations going into things makes a big difference.
Do you have the free comic book day Whatmen?
Oh, yeah. That was that. Was it Antarctic? Or
it's kind of like a spoof of Watchmen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't mind that. That was actually kind of funny.
It wasn't bad, because at least it played with some of the, you know, flaws of Watchmen.
Yeah, that's what it did. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up, Colin. Are you ready to wrap it up?
I might go to work now.
You might go to work? I might just go home. I'm done. I've been sitting in this window, beside this window, and there's, like, sun beating down on me right now.
It's 5 o'clock and p.m. Saturday as we do this. And I've been sitting in this chair outside since 10:45.
With your comic books and everything.
Reading comics and hanging out on Twitter, yeah.
There you go. That's Saturday.
I'm looking at everybody else's St. Patrick's Day pictures of their beers on Instagram.
I haven't done any of that. I need to get online and do that.
That's all I like about the internet now. It's like you're having a beer, and you put a filter over it, and now you're putting something out there to the world. Like it's there's the overshare epidemic.
Yeah, we were actually just talking about that before we started the podcast of people who are just on there tweeting about anything.
And I do social media for a living. So.
Yeah. Oh man. All right. Well, we'll catch you guys later.
Until you say that I'm too old when angels have stolen.